Hi.
New York, New York. 10036. Pro country.
What you see is what you get.
Hell has no fury. He drives the most expensive car because second best never enters his mind.
Of all the billions of planets in space, only one is off limits to man.
It all began with a curse.
The evil you did this day will be avenged.
A curse.
From the mists of infinity, they come, rising from the cold, damp earth to take what is now theirs.
You are in a room filled with your friends, but they are all dead.
Night, when the earth is quiet, and the good people of the world are sleeping, the night visitor comes to call.
The streets have been taken over by thieves, dope addicts, rapists, muggers. We live in fear. One man is doing something about it.
These are the sounds of 6 feet of silver death.
Grindhouse Purgatory, 42nd Street, Pete.
Let's dip back into the purgatory of the grindhouse with 42nd Street Pete.
Well, we just did spaghetti western, so what would you like to do? Being that I just jumped on my little fucking train trainer for the last show, you know?
Well, I personally love the horror and sci-fi stuff the best. That's where my tastes lie. So let's talk about some of the horror and sci-fi grindhouse movies from that sub, because you have so many subgenres within that subgenre. Like, what kind of horror movie did you like the best from that era? Slasher, zombie, the kind of mind fuck dream kind of ones, or what was the horror movie you gravitated towards the most?
Well, after I saw Night of the Living Dead, I was going for the zombie stuff, but of course we didn't get that until like 79 again. What they did was, this was a little bit strange, they would try to suck you in, because don't forget, they didn't call the zombies originally zombies, they were ghouls. So they had a double bill, Vampire Beast Craves Blood and Curse of the Blood Ghouls. I'm like, ghouls, oh, we're going to see some good shit. Yeah, you're going to see Slaughter of the Vampires retitled, that's what you're going to see. That's what it was. And we were like really fucking pissed, because they were running that every other weekend on Channel 9 late at night. So, okay. Then you had, and we just, I just got the DVD of I Drink Your Blood, which was a Night of the Living Dead knockoff. It wasn't intentionally a Night of the Living Dead knockoff, but it was, you know, it had its roots there. And
is that the one that's basically Gilligan's Island with zombies? Or is that I Eat Your Skin?
That's I Eat Your Skin, which okay. Really has nothing. See, what happened with, I'll tell you this story. David Durston was approached by Jerry Gross because he wanted a movie that would knock them out like Night of the Living Dead, but he didn't want any monsters, zombies, or werewolves in it. David had seen something about some documentary about rabies in Iran or something and how horrible it was to die from this shit. So he came up with this thing where, you know, a bunch of devil worshiping hippies crash in this town that's almost abandoned, and they fuck with somebody, and then the kid injects their meat pies with blood from a rabid dog he just killed, and then one chick gang bangs a bunch of construction workers and infects them. So it's all these people running around with like shaving cream dripping out of their faces and shit and everything. But what happened was, when they submitted it for the rating, they got the first X rating. And you know, if you listen, read Bill Landis's book, he says that Durston pulled all the prints and, you know, put him out because he said fuck the MPAA. Well, I just saw the interview with Durston, and Durston really didn't say fuck the MPAA. It was Jerry Gross, because Jerry Gross and the MPAA were having fucking issues prior to this. So to sort of stick it to Jerry, they slapped the X on it. Well, Jerry, to sort of like, let's say fuck with them, didn't do anything and just put it out. You know, it was supposed to open in like over 200 something theaters on a weekend. And then all of a sudden, you know, these theaters said, well, we can't open this because it's rated X. So we just said, well, trim the film down to what you think your community standards were. So out went the Asian chick setting herself on fire. Out went the gangbang. Out went the pregnant chick spiking herself with the branch. Out went the sword coming out the guy's fucking mouth. Out went the, you know, a bunch of shit was taken out. That's why there's never been, you know, a complete print up until now. And well, they just picked up that film. It was a Del Tenney film called, Oh, Voodoo, Bloodbath, or Zombies, take your pick, because nobody ever picked it up. So they bought that cheap and just slapped it on.
Well, because, so. Okay, you just brought up something interesting. So let's say with like a Fulci film or an Argento film or something like that, when you saw them, you were seeing not, you didn't see the beyond. You saw Seven Doors of Death and,
yeah, which was cut.
And whatnot.
Yeah.
So how did these movies play when you weren't aware of how much was cut out at the time?
Well, sometimes the cuts were obvious. Like I give you Make Them Die Slowly when they cut, you know, Giovanni Ribisi's cock off. There was a real quick shot of that where in the DVD now you can see it. You really weren't aware of it because there was so much, you know, first off, you got to remember, nobody ever seen any of this shit like this before. This is all fucking brand new. So if you remember also that first Cannibal movie, Deep River Savages, or Man from Deep River, as it was retitled, or Sacrifice, I mean, there was only one real cannibal scene in that whole movie, and that was the payoff scene when they killed that chicken, where they're just eating her in front of everybody. So, the payoff scenes were few and far between. Then when it became, you know, when you got the Cannibal Holocaust, where there's like a fucking payoff scene every 5 minutes, that's when the cuts came in. But you honestly, as viewing them back then, you weren't aware of what was going on because basically every fucking import movie was being chopped like that. You know, they take a 2 hour, you know, I'll give you an example, Day of Anger. They chop like 15 minutes off that to fit in a 90 minute time slot. So you never knew what was taken out, what wasn't taken out till, you know, they were restored all the stuff on DVD, especially Grindhouse Releasing. They did a wonderful job on all their stuff.
When it comes to the horror movies, especially once you get to around 1980 and the slasher boom is happening, did it seem like these were getting more and more brutal because of the grindhouse scene? Like something like New York Ripper. It's way more brutal and sadistic than Friday the 13th, which came out the same year. Do you think that like Friday the 13th was the quote mainstream slasher movie and New York Ripper was made for the grindhouse people?
Well, it wasn't a question of being made for the grindhouse people. What we don't fail to understand is there's a big difference between us and Europe. And in Europe, hardcore sex was acceptable in a mainstream release, and the first release that did that was Emmanuel in America. They got in trouble for the snuff film shit that was in there. But as far as, like, you know, having hardcore sex or, you know, hardcore violence in a movie, that was the norm over there. There was no, you know, they weren't pulling any fucking punches over there. We were pulling our punches here because they'd get the shit in, okay, this has got to go, this has got to go, this has got to go. Sid Haig said you're only allowed to stab a person a certain amount of time according, a certain amount of times according to the MPAA.
Also, even gunshots. If you have so many gunshots, you go from R to X, even if they're not hitting somebody.
Yeah, exactly. So we're pretty, you know, when they put that rate, prior to putting that rating system in, you had Blood Feast. You don't get more over the fucking top and gory than Blood Feast than in 63.
But then, I see, I'm looking at something like New York Ripper, which really, it's a sadistic movie.
Oh yeah.
I would even say it's the beginning of torture porn. This movie was made to revel in watching women get brutally murdered.
Oh yeah. Well, there was another one, I don't know what the real title is. It was released here on a double bill with Bloody Pit of Horror. It was called Terror Creatures from the Grave, and it was resurrected lepers that did something. They were called plague spreaders. And there was a scene where a guy committed suicide in the wheelchair by putting a sword in a desk drawer and running his wheelchair into it. And when the leper's hand reached out and pulled the wheelchair back off camera, they just showed this hole in this guy's guts. And this was in black and white with intestines dropping out. And this was in 63 or 60, you know, in the mid-60s there. They were doing shit over there that we were, you know, we were completely unaware of. Then we'd get it over here and, like, you know. See, the weird thing with censors over here, they didn't really fuck with black and white stuff that much. That's why Night of the Living Dead got thrown into kiddie matinee, and it killed the kiddie matinees forever after they did that, because they figured a black and white horror movie, how bad can it fucking be? You know, look at Frankenstein, Dracula, the Wolfman, all the 50s stuff, you know, they were corny back then, but you know, you throw some of this other shit in the mix, oh no. Like, okay, how about Black Sunday? There's another one. They took out this scene where they slammed the mask on her head and the blood squirted out, and that was in black and white.
Well, see, I'm looking at more something like once the Italian exploitation stuff came over, like Fulci. I don't think we in America got uncut Fulci movies legally until the DVD era. Cause I remember bootlegging the shit out of these on VHS in the 90s.
Oh yeah. Oh
but,
yeah.
You know, I look at something like The Beyond or Seven Doors of Death as you would have seen it. And yeah. That movie is gorgeous. The cinematography, the lighting. Due to having to cut scenes out of the gore, the editing was so bad, it literally destroyed the picture. And, you know, it's like, I get it. You don't want to see the extra gore. But in all honesty, some of those trims were necessary. Like, when you see the spiders eating the obviously fake bookkeeper in The Beyond, you go, he's just lingering on an obviously fake body. That really should have been trimmed a little bit for, you know, clarity's sake. So sometimes the trims were not necessarily bad. They were just very awkward and very poorly done. So, like, what other, like, did you like stuff like The Dark? Or what slasher movies did you see at 42nd Street?
I saw, you know, the first three Halloweens, the first three Friday the 13th, then it got fucking boring. There was another one, I'm trying to think. There was just a lot of one-shot things over there that struck me, like they ran Blood Eaters, that thing where they spray the fucking pot with some kind of chemical and guys that smoke it become, you know, flesh-eating zombies and shit. There was another Pittsburgh one. John Amplis was in it.
Oh, I don't think I saw that under that title. I think Toxic Zombies. Yeah, I saw that as Toxic Zombies.
It was Blood Eaters. I think what else? It was a bunch of weird shit that was going on. You know, the reverse thing with the chick that was the killer in Sleepaway Camp, the tranny killer or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah, the boy fucking, who was a girl.
That fucking weird thing. Madman was another one that was pretty good.
Maniac with Joe Spinell.
Yeah, Maniac was like so over the top. People were just, you know, that, you know, the weird thing was that came out with an X. And there was only one theater in Jersey that would play it. Of course, nobody gave a fuck on 42nd Street. They'd run anything. But, you know, some of the more over-the-top shit I dug was like Dr. Butcher, M.D., because that was completely, out of fucking whack. You know, zombies and cannibals. How can you not like that movie, you know?
Well, okay, then let me ask you this. What about Fulci's zombie? A zombie fighting a shark. How the hell did that actually go over on its first run? Because by the time I saw it, I'd heard about that scene or read about it in Fangoria or Famous Monsters so many times that I knew more or less in my head what was going to happen. What was it like to not have any fucking clue what you were watching when you first saw Zombie?
Well, you know what it was? That was another Jerry Gross deal. He distributed that. And that they hammered that incessantly for a week before it even came out. I mean, there was just these huge mock-ups of that rotting face all over New York. There was radio spots constantly, TV spots constantly. And, you know, if you like Dawn of the Dead, you'll eat up Zombie. So, okay, you know, we go to see this fucking thing, and it's like, oh, this is blowing everybody's mind. But that one scene with her swimming underneath, and she runs into the fucking zombie under the water and the fucking shark, that blew everybody's mind.
Okay, and then speaking of zombies still, that fucking scene with the splinter in the eye.
Oh yeah, that was classic. We even did that at Wasteland. We had a game called a blindfold game. Instead of pin the tail on the donkey, it was put the spooner through Olga Kalotos's eye.
I still to this day can't sit through that scene, Pete.
Oh, I can.
That makes me squirm.
The zombie picnic after that?
So,
I mean, that just kept going and going and going. You're like, holy fuck. But you know, the weird part is you look back at that and you look back on Dawn of the Dead and that one holds up and Dawn of the Dead doesn't. I'm sure I'll take some shit for that, but
I'll disagree with you on that because I still think the original Dawn of the Dead does. So I'll disagree with you. But then, what about sci-fi? Now, I know sci-fi wasn't taken, quote, seriously until 2001 and then, you know, again after Star Wars in 77, but there were a lot of good sci-fi movies that came out. Maybe not made for the grindhouse specifically as much as, you know, the westerns or the cannibal movies.
Oh, there was shit. Creature. William Malone's Creature. That was tailor-made for the grindhouses.
That was 85 though. I mean, wasn't the grindhouse on its way out by then?
I saw that somewhere in Jersey in a grindhouse.
Klaus Kinski just not giving a shit at all about staying on script. Kinski clearly making up his own character and dialogue in that movie.
Oh, yeah, it was great. That was one of the last things I saw. Another one was Scared to Death. That was another one.
Oh, I remember that creature freaked me the fuck out in that.
And Sore, the one in the Sore, and then there was a bunch. Oh, Squirm. How could you not like Squirm? That was sci-fi, you know?
Well, kind
of. Sort of, you know.
Okay.
You're talking about outer space shit, is what?
Yeah, I'm talking more like Star Odyssey and Star Crash and that kind of thing.
Contamination, that was a good one.
The alien contamination one, the one with the eggs that go wee wee.
Yeah,
that was I love that movie. I saw that as Alien Contamination, and I saw that for the first time on Elvira's show.
Yeah.
So I saw that on broadcast TV.
Then there was the import one, Screamers, which was Isle of the Fishmen with added scenes of Cameron Mitchell and Miguel Ferrer, or Jose Ferrer, I think it was.
Yeah, it was, I think, Jose Ferrer. Roger Corman brought that one over, and he was forced to film those scenes because of the trailer.
Yeah.
Because the trailer, you will see a man turned inside out, and then Island of the Fishmen doesn't have anything like that. So Corman had to shoot new footage to at least include something, even though it made no sense in the plot. Hey, look, the trailer didn't lie now, did it?
Yeah, that was fucked up. Well, then Cameron Mitchell would do... Oh, here's another one. Here's a fucking winner. Toolbox Murders. Can't top that one for sheer depravity.
Well, see, I'm looking at more like, do you remember seeing like Star Crash with Caroline Monroe at the Grindhouse or anything?
I wasn't really a big Star Wars fan, so I didn't give a shit. I saw Alien, you know, I saw Alien, all the Alien ripoffs and stuff.
Drop horror and sci-fi. What about some of the other, I guess, more obscure subgenres? Like, you know, we talked about blaxploitation and westerns and all that, but what about something like sexploitation or Ozploitation? When you had all of the Australian movies coming over?
The only ones that I saw, like the Cars That Ate People, which, you know, even Drunken Stone made very little sense. I don't know if it would make any sense to me today, but the Cars That Eat People, then it was actually the Cars That Ate Paris, but they ran it as a midnight show, the Cars That Ate People, and they had this thing of like a Volkswagen Beetle with all spikes sticking out of it saying they run on blood. So we got sucked in. Thirst was another one we got sucked in. This, you know, homogenized vampire thing where they were draining victims and putting it in cartons of like milk and selling it.
I remember Thirst is actually a pretty decent one. I liked that one.
Yeah.
There was Patrick, the psychic, the guy in the coma who was raping women psychically.
Then there was this huge turd the day after Halloween, which actually, we didn't go see, we were between two theaters across from each other, and we were gonna go see the day after Halloween, and the cashier said, "You don't want to see this movie, you won't like it."
I said, it
has nothing to do with Halloween. She goes, "Yeah, you're gonna not like it." So we went over and saw something else. Here's one with Mel Gibson, it was called Attack Force Z. He was a young Mel Gibson as a World War II soldier, invading an island, and they even had kung fu shit in there too. Sam Neill was in it. John Philip Law.
Okay, well, saying Sam Neill made me think of Sam Elliott. What about the AIP stuff that was coming out at this time? Because that was really made more for the drive-in circuit, if you hear Arkoff and Nicholson talk about it. Did the Grindhouse get a lot of, you know, Frogs, Empire of the Ants,
that? That was the Empire of the, Food of the God, Empire of the Ants, double bill. Frogs and Godzilla versus the Smog Monster, double bill. I remember that.
The only thing that pissed me off about Frogs was, yes, there are killer frogs in it, but it's the entire swamp. It's spiders and snakes and bats and, you know, it's like, I don't know why they picked Frogs as the title because...
They weren't really even frogs, they were marine toads.
But you see my point is, it's a strange titling for a movie where, yes, there are killer frogs, but they're just a group of the whole swamp getting pissed off at Ray Milland.
Well, I don't know what else you could have called it, swamp, you know?
One of my favorites from that era was Tentacles. Avidido Asinitis' Tentacles, which I think often gets, I constantly see it just called, oh, it's just a Jaws ripoff. Actually, the only thing it has in common with Jaws is coastal town terrorized by undersea monster. The characters are totally different. The plot is totally different. What's causing it is totally different. I don't think Tentacles is a fucking Jaws ripoff, yet it's constantly pigeonholed as one.
Oh, Mako Jaws of Death is a Jaws ripoff. Then, of course, the one that nobody ever got to see, The Last Shark.
I used to have a bootleg of that as Great White.
Yeah, so did I.
But I actually thought Mako Jaws of Death was, I looked at that one as, this is the Punisher if he loved sharks. Richard Jekyll was fantastic in Mako.
I forgot. The one I was thinking of, Tintoria.
Yeah, no, Tintoria is a complete Jaws ripoff. I'm like, Mako really isn't a Jaws. It's about a guy who loves sharks and gets pissed off when poachers start killing off all of his shark friends. He just goes fucking exterminator on their asses. And there are scenes in that movie, Pete. I'm not sure how they filmed. There are scenes where Richard Jekyll is clearly in tanks of water with real fucking tiger sharks.
Oh yeah.
Imagine shooting something like that today without CGI.
I talked to Bill Griffey last time I was up at Wasteland about it. He said he had pitched that idea before Jaws came out. And after Jaws came out, they were like, remember that thing you were thinking about? You were talking about? Can we still do that? They were using real sharks. They had to go down and get dead ones from a fishery at the dock. He told me a story about Richard Jekyll because, you know, people who don't realize Richard Jekyll has been around since the 40s. He played in Guadalcanal Diary. He was like 18 years old, then joined the Navy and fought in World War II and was a huge character actor ever since then. But
I remember, for me, Richard Jekyll will always be the asshole commander in Green Slime.
Well, what happened was they were doing something and somebody ran up the building and go, Richard just got hurt. And he goes, what do you mean? He goes, he just got hit in the face with something. He's bleeding like a stuck pig. So he comes back and like he's got to get stitched up. And he goes, I'll be back tomorrow. And he goes, you're in no shape to shoot. And he goes, yeah, if I turn my face this way, just shoot me from this way and nobody will see what happened.
That's how professional he was.
Yeah. He just loved the work.
I'm highly recommending Mako Jaws of Death to people.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't even know if that has an official DVD release. It's out there on some, you know, those low budget, you know, full frame ones, but that's a really, really damn good movie. I was surprised because I went into it thinking like you, it's going to be like Tintoretto. It's going to be just a Jaws ripoff. And I came out going, this was really fucking solid.
Yeah. I got one from Bill, but it's real grainy and shit. I don't think there's been a decent release of that since it was on VHS, I think.
And then Great White was such a Jaws ripoff. That Universal successfully, and this doesn't happen often, successfully sued to halt its release because Castellari just, remember that old Cheech and Chong gag about how Chong learned how to play guitar by slowing down the first Black Sabbath album and copying it note for note?
Yeah.
That's what Castellari did for Jaws to Great White. He copied that movie straight out. I mean, yeah, he made some alterations, but I'd say that movie is one of the most blatant, dude, how did you think you weren't going to get sued moments out there?
Well, even you're talking about Richard Jekyll. I mean, he was in The Dark and my friend, Bud Cardos directed that. And I asked him how he was, couldn't say enough about him. True professional, was just great to work with. I mean, I saw a lot of these guys, you know, were doing a lot of this low budget shit. And then all of a sudden they turn around and go, you know, I just did the Dirty Dozen. Now I'm doing something with a fucking monster alien, you know? So, but he was never like that. He was just happy to have a chance to work. Unfortunately, he got, you know, he was one of those surfer guys and he got skin cancer and he, you know, the fucking cure killed him, unfortunately. So he was actually in one of Peckinpah's films, Pat Garrett and Billy the Kid. He showed up in that.
He was almost one of those guys that, I don't know, he always played an asshole. And usually, like with Sid Haig, Michael Ironside, people like that, the people who play assholes in movies tend to be the nicest fucking people in the world in real life.
Well, he could play a sympathetic guy, too. He was in that, what was it, Black Moon Rising. He was a scientist in that. But he was also a gunslinger in one of the John Wayne movies where I saw him get blown away real quick.
Black Moon Rising, the Tommy Lee Jones one? I don't remember him in that.
Yeah, he was a scientist.
Oh, I don't even remember him in that. Yeah. I just remember how Linda Hamilton and Tommy Lee Jones are both good in that, but my God, they have no fucking chemistry as lovers.
Well, he was in Grizzly, too.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But in Grizzly, Grizzly's another one that is often called a Jaws ripoff because it really does follow the Jaws structure note for note.
Oh, yeah.
Problem is, it was written before Jaws. It just didn't come out till after. So it's actually not a Jaws ripoff, even though it really seems like it is.
Yeah, that was a good one. Well, they had that in Day of the Animals. That was the William Gridler stuff. You know, it's a shame there's another guy who left us way too soon. He got crashed in a helicopter accident.
Well, speaking of helicopter accidents, have you ever seen Hands of Steel?
Nah, I didn't see that one.
It was an Italian one. John Saxon is one of those ones where they clearly had John Saxon for 2 days, so almost all of his scenes take place in, you know, one room, and he's got this giant laser gun that he's using and whatnot. It's a fantastic one. You got George Eastman as a arm wrestling championship in like a post-apocalyptic future where they arm wrestle over rattlesnakes, so the person that loses gets bit by the rattlesnake. It's fantastic.
I don't know the name of this film. I'm determined to find it out because we were talking about this the other night. This is some weird-ass jungle film or something like that, but there's two scenes that stood out. And I saw this on 42nd Street, and I had it on video, and I can't remember what the fucking name of it was. But in one scene, they bury a guy up to his neck, and they drill a hole in his head and pour acid in it, and he pops out of the ground. And in another scene, they got these guys in a basement dungeon tied up with their legs in front of them, and they soak their legs with gasoline, and then soak a rat with gasoline and light it on fire and toss it in there and take bets on who's going to light up. And I can't for the life of me remember the fucking name of this damn movie.
That one, you're on your own. I'm not familiar with that one, so.
I'm going to find out when we come back on, you know, next show, I'll know the name of the fucking thing. I'm determined to track this thing down.
Well, maybe the audience can help. If the audience can figure out what this movie is, how would they contact you?
40deuce spelled out at hotmail.com or hit me up on Facebook under my real name, Pete Chiarella. That's how you do it. Yeah, if you can figure it out, let me know. I'm going to try to figure it out before we do another show.
This has been a 1201 Beyond production. Find it and other great content at 1201beyond.com.